C-minus 53. McCarthy Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. Feeling a mixture of trepidation and excitement, Dan sat down on the couch next to his father's wheelchair in preparation for the big Focus 2020 panel. Clark was still nowhere to be seen after a full day doing overtime at the precinct, if the story he told Henry was true. He had been gone when Dan first went upstairs in the morning, and hadn't so much as called since then, so he knew nothing yet of Dan's unplanned excursion to Richard Walker's cornfield. Emma had way too much going on for Dan to try calling her before the show, and since she hadn't taken any of his calls the previous day, he didn't think she would have been in much of a mood to talk to him anyway. Throughout the day so far, as well as during several sleepless hours after returning home from Walker's place, Dan had been working frenetically in his basement, invigorated by his new information, and even more so by the overnight reaffirmation that the messengers really were close. Although none of Dan's new and speculative leads were yet firm enough to act on, he no longer felt a crushing mix of helplessness and impatience in his chest. The messengers had indirectly but overtly communicated with him the previous night, and he had every faith that they would do so again extremely soon. This wasn't to say he was prepared to rest on his laurels, however, and even as he sat down next to Henry, he was thinking about his next research moves. Momentary fear had struck him on a few occasions during the day, always concerning whether or not Timo would be able to make it through the panel without letting any of his new knowledge slip. Dan had no doubts at all that Timo would be trying to keep the secret to himself. Emma's powers of persuasion were never in question, but he understood that there was an inherent risk in having brought Timo in on the full truth when he did, right before Timo was about to appear on live TV and spar with some hostile fellow panelists. Dan thought back to how he had felt prior to his own ill-fated appearance on Marco Magnifico's live hypnosis show, when he was desperate to keep the existence of Hans Kloster's explosive handwritten letter to himself for a few more hours. He had succeeded in the end on that occasion, largely thanks to Emma and Mr. Bird, but he was under no illusions that keeping quiet about a partially translated letter was in the same league as keeping quiet about a world-changing truth like the one Timo now knew. Despite these thoughts, Dan didn't regret his action for a second. He regretted the way it had to go down, and particularly the difficulties it had caused for Emma, but he had felt and still felt that he simply had to bring Timo in. And since it naturally wouldn't have been safe to do so over the phone or via any other electronic method of communication, the one-off opportunity of a face-to-face handover of a short written explanation was literally too good to miss.
2020 ain't what it used to be, Henry mused in the moments before the show began. Even when it's something big like this, it's all politicians. Back in the day, they had athletes, movie stars, you name it.
Caitlin Judd was on the panel when I appeared via satellite, Dan said. Henry shrugged.
The exception that proves the rule. You know what I mean. I think I've just gotten old enough to see through the posturing and sound bites. You know, I wish I'd been here last year when you were going through everything. But one thing I'm glad I missed living through in real time was all the political crap that went along with the leak.
I get that, but this is totally different, Dan replied. Last time the political posturing took weeks and it came in dribs and drabs. This time the main players are all sitting in the same room at the same time and getting ready to fight for position in a no-holds-barred 40-minute slugfest. This is huge.
Short of telling Henry what was going on behind the very curtain which Dan had endured such pains to keep in place, there was no surefire way of stressing just how important the next 40 minutes could be. This, as well as Henry's comments about not having lived through the IDA leak as it happened, sharpened Dan's focus as to why the curtain had to stay between them. The trio of Dan, Clark, and Emma had gone through it all together, living each revelation and counter-revelation in real time, an experience no one else could ever understand. They had stood together in turmoil in the kitchen when Richard Walker's now dead assistant arrived in the middle of the night to reveal that the supposed cover-up was in fact a lie, dressed up as a secret by way of an unbelievably intricate hoax. They had stood together in awe in Lolo National Forest as the real messengers arrived to make the lie come true. And they had stood together in the old drive-in lot to draw a line under the whole thing in front of the media's cameras. No one could ever understand what they had gone through together. Not even Henry. Aside from that stood Dan's second consideration. When they had learned it was a hoax, it was more than hard enough for any of them to take. But for Henry, it would be a heart-wrenching double whammy to learn that not only had Richard Walker lied to the world, but that his own sons had known this for a year and had been lying to him about it ever since. Allied to this, one of Henry's mottos had always been, "Don't drag other people into your problems." And given that sharing the secret with Henry would achieve nothing except easing Dan's conscience and driving the family apart, he had no intention of ever doing so. Making the secret public would be bad for the world, as Dan and the others understood very well, but it would be positively crushing for Henry McCarthy. As the long-running Sunday evening show's entrance music began, still marked in the recesses of Dan's mind as the unwelcome soundtrack to the end of his weekend and an imminent return to school, he settled comfortably in his seat. All he wanted was to see Timo make it through unscathed. As far as Dan knew, the next 40 minutes provided an opportunity to lose a lot and gain very little, so a non-event would do him just fine. What he didn't know was that Emma had very different plans.